Ephesians 5, verse 1 through 6, verse 20, take heed that you hear in a manner of worship, for these are the words of God. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. And let the wife see that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart. As to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Amen. Thus ends this reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. We rejoice to know that his Spirit now blesses unto us the preaching of it. To which preaching now let us attend thereunto with diligence, preparation, having prayed, receive it with faith and love, lay it up in our hearts, and practice it in our lives. There is a battle on between light and darkness. In Adam we ate of the fruit and we died. We became sons of disobedience, children of wrath, dead in trespasses and sins, Ephesians 2. But now the Son of God has been manifested to destroy the works of the devil. And now there are on earth two races, those who are born of God and those who are sons of disobedience still, whom 1 John 3 calls of the devil. They may be identified by how they walk. Those who are still of the devil walk in sin, but in our passage, the beloved children of God walk in love, walk in light, and walk in wisdom. This distinction is emphasized in 1 John 3, verses 7 through 9. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. So we can identify who is of the darkness and who is of the light by how they walk. The dear children of God, Ephesians 5 verse 1, must walk in love, verse 2. Those who are now light in the Lord, who are no longer darkness, must walk as children of light. Chapter 5, verse 8. Those who are righteous but living in the evil days between the fall and the resurrection must walk circumspectly, accurately, carefully, must walk in wisdom. Ephesians 5, verse 15. So, love and holiness that contrasts the filthiness and foolishness of the sons of disobedience, light that exposes the unfruitful works of darkness, wisdom that redeems the time and the evil days, this is how God's beloved children are to walk. The apostle is still writing in the same vein when we get to chapter 6, verse 12, where he writes about the spiritual war in which the family of God finds themselves embroiled during this age of darkness. In order to walk as God's children of light in the midst of darkness, we must first be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. But how are we to stand? We stand, therefore, as the apostle has said in verse 10, by the strength of the Lord himself, by the power of the Lord himself. It is his grace that is sufficient for us, because his strength is made perfect in weakness. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. And he has given us means of his grace, meaning the means of his perfect strength in us, which he here calls his armor. his righteousness, clung to by the way of believing meditation upon the gospel of truth, his salvation begun and sure to be completed. This armor makes up the warp and woof of the scriptures. These are the things of which the Bible is full. And then there is all prayer, that we hold to God's word in dependence upon God the Spirit himself, carried in prayer through all of this by the Spirit, who first caused the word to be written as scripture, and who is the same Spirit who now helps us in our praying, and the same Spirit who now writes his word on the heart. This is the how of our standing and our walking. God's own grace, which he has ordained to work through Spirit-sustained, prayerful, worshipful, believing attendance upon the means of his grace. This is the how of our walking. But as we consider now the middle portion over which we momentarily skipped, it is also the what of our walking. It is what the children of light do. If we look now at that middle portion, we find the areas of life in which we walk distinctly as light over against darkness, the fields of battle upon which we engage in the spiritual war. And what we find is that in three of these four fields of battle, public worship, marriage, and parenting, the primary activity on the battlefield itself is attendance upon God himself in worship, by way of the means of his grace. First, in verses 17 through 21, public worship. Everyone worships, but God's children worship not as those who are drunk, but giving thanks to the Father in the name of the Son by the filling of and help of the Spirit. We not only read and hear preached and pray God's word, but we even sing God's word, accompanied by the melody of his grace. Not so much in the ear, but in the heart, as the parallel in Colossians 3:16 makes clear. There's only one place that I know of where the Lord tells elders to submit to three-year-olds, and that is when, in the public assembly, God has ordained his word to be in the mouths of babes as they praise. Simple, word-rich public worship is a field of battle upon which God's children walk as light that exposes the darkness. Second, marriage, verses 22 through 33, wives submitting to their husbands rather than desiring to control them as sin desired to control Cain, and husbands not crushing their wives as Cain should have crushed his sin, but rather loving their wives as Christ loves the church, meaning husbands giving their wives the continual beauty treatments of scripture washing, husbands whose number one priority in giving themselves out of love for their wives is that their own bride will be spotless as a member of Christ's spotless bride in the last day. This is truly Christian marriage love. And this is the great thing in Christian marriage as a field of battle upon which God's children walk as light that exposes the darkness. Third, parenting, 6:1-4. Not just training children to behave obediently, but children whom God has called saints on account of a believing parent, learning to live in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Children, therefore, whose obedience is in the Lord. Children who are not condemned to that misery of their own wrath, which results from trying to make God's world revolve around themselves. And neither are they to be provoked to wrath by the parent trying to make the child's life revolve around the parent. But a life of parents and children together, continually being trained by the Lord, continually being admonished, instructed by the Lord. A household life that is a continual training, especially by the Lord's instruction to live out our union with Christ. This is a field of battle upon which God's children walk as light that exposes darkness. Fourth and finally, the workplace, chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. Employers and employees doing their work and interacting with others, all as an offering of their bodies unto God as living sacrifice, from hearts devoted unto God. This is a field of battle upon which God's children walk as light that exposes the darkness. But note that in the first three of them, public worship, marriage, and parenting, God's grace through his word is not just the how whereby we are enabled to walk as light, but it is right at the heart of what the actual walking is. A congregation whose worship is not full of the word worships in darkness. A marriage that does not have the washing of the water with the word at its center is a marriage in darkness. Parenting that is not word rich all day, every day, training in living out our union with Christ is parenting in darkness. And therefore, by God's own description in these two chapters, how many walk now in darkness, alas, even in the visible church. But it was not so from the beginning. In the beginning, he who made them male and female had already established patterns from their days. Activity during the day, but then an evening leading out of that day, and a morning leading into the next day. An evening time of lying down, which Deuteronomy 6:5 identifies as a time, especially for parents whose hearts throb with love for God and whose hearts are saturated by the word of God, to teach their children the word of God before the face of God, that this God might use his word to make the children's hearts too to throb with love for him. And a morning time of rising up, which Deuteronomy 6:5 identifies as a time especially for parents whose hearts throb with love for God and whose hearts are saturated by the word of God, to teach their children the word of God before the face of God, that this God might use his word to make the children's hearts too to throb with love for him. And these times of spiritual sacrifice, when you lie down and when you rise up, in the evening and the morning, would provide the material for all their conversation throughout the day. The word of God would inform and direct how they did everything with their hands and how they viewed everything with their eyes as they sat in the house and as they walked by the way. And the word of God would define the identity of their home and of the lands which their gates enclosed. Evening and morning as worship times for the household were established before the existence of the first household, as confirmed when God had redeemed for himself a people and instructed them in what the life of a redeemed household should look like as he brought them to the brink of entering the promised land in Deuteronomy 6. In the beginning, he who made them male and female gave the husband the terms of the covenant before he gave him the wife who would help him keep it, demonstrating that his design was for the husband to rule and to teach in the home, that as God had loved him with his word, so now Adam was to love his own wife with God's word. Man's failure to follow this arrangement was instrumental in our becoming sons of disobedience in the first place. And now, recovering God's design for the spiritual life, the worship life of the household, is both the instrument by which his children are enabled to walk as children of light, as well as the central activity of the walking itself. The family worship that was originally at the heart of humanity is now at the heart of Christian living. But there is one day each week upon which we are to have family worship more than just in the evening and in the morning. The Christian household must not forsake the assembly of the saints, Hebrews 10, verse 25, on that Sabbath keeping that remains, Hebrews 4, verse 9, that Lord's day upon which the Lord gathers his saints by faith up into the congregation of the firstborn in heaven, Hebrews 12. It is there in that assembly that Jesus says of us, "Behold, I and the children whom God has given me." Hebrews 2 verse 13. It is in public worship on the Lord's Day that Jesus is among us and declares God's name to us as his brethren and sings himself God's praise in the midst of our assembly. Hebrews 2 verse 12. It is that gathering in which, having brought us into the Holy of Holies in heaven by his flesh, and having made us bold even in that place by his blood, those who gather are assured of their cleansing before God by their bodies having been washed with clean water. Hebrews 10, verse 19 through 23. It is that gathering in which the Lord Jesus speaks from heaven, that word which preserves us for an unshakable kingdom. Hebrews 12, verses 25 through 27. The most important family worship sessions each week are when the family is gathered in the midst of the congregation for the public worship of God. And this too, God had shown from the beginning. For not only had he established the pattern of evening and morning framing what a day is, but the first full day of humanity's life was a Sabbath day. So immediately after creating the first family, there was evening of family worship. And then they slept and they woke up again and they had morning of family worship. But that was the seventh day. And so the first full day was an entire day of worship before these creatures would imitate God as they acted upon his creation in the following 6 days of work. God first gave them an entire day of acting upon their creator in a day of worship. This is the life of the children of God, dear brethren, evening and morning, every day on the sixth, and then all day on the Lord's Day, or all day on the Lord's Day first, the household gathered before the face of God with hearts throbbing with the love of God, worshiping by means of the word of God and prayer in dependence upon God, worshiping in those means of God's grace by which God's strength makes them to stand and enables them to walk in love, to walk in light, to walk in wisdom. This is the duty, priority, and necessity of family worship, experiencing in our union with him upon his schedule of communion with him, so that we can express our union with him in the rest of our schedule. Whatever activities, entertainments, busyness, laziness, worldliness is getting in the way of this, manage it better, cut it back, if necessary, throw it out. Whatever must be lost, count it gain for the treasure of laying hold of God together as a family in the schedule and pattern and way that his own word has established. What use will any even lawful activities have been if they are the means by which the beloved of God walk more in darkness than as children of light? Worship in your families evening and morning, all day long and on the Lord's Day, and especially in the public worship on the Lord's Day. And see that it will be worship. Do not just read the Bible as a family. Worship God as a family in the reading of the Bible. Do not just pray as a family. Worship God as a family by prayer. Do not just sing the word of God as a family. Worship God as a family in your singing. How will the rest of our family's life be a living before God's face if our family worship itself is not a gathering unto God's face by way of the means of his grace and dependence upon his Spirit? This is his way. This was his way before the fall. This was his way for his people in the Mosaic administration of the covenant of grace. Now, how much more it is his way for you who are not under a servant in the house, but under Jesus Christ, God the Son, who became a man in order that he would be the great high priest, the Son who is over the house. Jesus Christ has made us beloved children. And right at the heart of walking as those children is family worship. Evening and morning every day and all day on the Lord's Day, the household gathered before the face of God, with hearts throbbing with the love of God, worshiping by means of the Word of God. Be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved the church, has loved us, and given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Amen.